Hey, y'all, thank you so much for tuning into this message. We hope that it speaks to your life. And if you have questions, please contact us. You can contact us on the website, 1000hillsranchchurch.com or 1000hillsranchchurch@yahoo.com. And then you can also call us at 580-216-6427. And may God use this message to change your life.
The Cowboy's Guide to Valentine's Day. Ride in like a hero. Sure, you're not a yellow wuss. Impress her with your riding skills. Ask the lady to dance.
Could I get you this?
He means he wants you to dance with him.
Shall we dance?
Yes. Over this way.
On the prairie.
Kiss her already. Ride off into the sunset.
Wow, did it happen like that for all of you guys that are married? I mean, really, come on, raise your hand. You're supposed to say yes. I mean, you just kissed, you made out, and then you rode off into the sunset, right? I mean, that's the way it's supposed to work, right? It really doesn't work that way, does it? Can I get a witness? Is it hard to be married? Anybody? No, it's not hard for you guys. Well, today we're going to continue a series. And again, if you have children in here and you don't want them to hear about sex, then now is the time for them to go to the cafe. But we are excited to be here, and we are excited to be a part of a series. And the series title is this: Going All the Way. Going All the Way. Now, some of you guys are like, "Wow, what's that all about?" It's actually about the gift and the pleasure of sex, but that's not what it's all about. It's not all about that. Now, here's the thing. You say, well, what's the purpose of this series? I want to give you two things that we're trying to get across in this series. Number one is this: we want to show the benefits. Listen, we want to show the benefits of not going all the way till you're married. Okay? We're going to show you some benefits of not going all the way until you're married. Number two, we want to hopefully equip your marriage or your future marriage, if you're single, to go all the way till the day you die or the Lord comes back. I don't know about you, but those are great purposes. I love talking about sex. Anybody else love talking about sex? It's all the... Come on, man. Now, it's kind of embarrassing. Some of you guys are embarrassed. Well, here's the thing. God talks about sex, therefore we are going to talk about sex. Amen? Some of you guys, again, maybe you grew up in a generation where sex wasn't talked about. Well, this generation is changing the culture, and this church will change the culture as well. We will talk about sex, and we will talk about it as a gift from God that is holy and pure and for our pleasure and for God's glory. Amen? Can we get some clapping up in here? Now, it's okay to be excited about sex. Some of you guys haven't gotten that yet. Well, why do we teach on this? Again, what's the purpose? Why do we teach on this? Here's the other reasons why we're doing this. We teach on it so that Christians and un-Christians or non-Christians can be equipped to fulfill God's design for sex, not just the culture's, right? I mean, that's why we're teaching on it. The other part of it is we want our teenagers, we want our children to have a positive outlook about sex, not a negative outlook, right? And number three is this. Ultimately, we believe that to talk about sex pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord. You know why? Because the world is talking about sex, and they're selling a lie, and we have the truth about it, and sometimes we're silent. And so I believe it pleases the Lord when we talk about sex and we talk about marriage and we talk about relationships. So I'm excited about it. I want to say this as well. And I want to say this in light of, you know, even the song that we just sang. We believe that we have not a dumb culture, and not a stupid culture, not an idiotic culture, but a misguided culture. I want you to hear that. Because a lot of people walk in and go, you're just calling me stupid. I mean, you're just saying that I'm not, you know, doing the right thing. You're just condemning me. No, we're not condemning you. We believe that the culture has misguided a lot of people. Therefore, we want to guide them to the truth. Some of you were misguided by your parents. Some of you have been misguided by your teachers. Some of you have been misguided by the media. Some of you have been misguided by your own mate. Listen, you can be guided back to the truth, and God can show you grace. He can show you mercy, and he can show you forgiveness. And that's a great thing. And so today, we're not here to condemn you. We're not here to say that, you know, there's no hope for you, because there is hope for you. We are not going to be talking about necessarily the dating idea, but if you want to hear a message on dating, we preached a message, I think it was a year or two ago, called Cowboys, Culture, and Sex. Cowboys, Culture, and Dating. Cowboys, Culture, and Marriage. And if you'll scroll back on our website, thousandhillsranchchurch.com, you can listen to God's teaching on dating. You can listen to God's teaching on relationships. And we encourage you to do that, because we're not going to cover a lot of the dating idea. So, but here's the thing. Last week, we looked at what the culture is sharing, and we called it artificial sex. Remember that? Brought the semen tank in, talked about artificial insemination, how that is artificial. In other words, it's made by humans. It's a technique performed by humans to impregnate, you know, let's say a cow or whatever. And we compared that to the culture. The culture has sold us this idea of artificial sex, right? Sex that is an idea that comes from humans, not from God. And we looked at two misconceptions about artificial sex. Number one was this: you can go all the way sexually outside of marriage, and it only affects you. It's a misconception. Number two is this: God is okay with me and my girlfriend, or, you know, even my fiance, going all the way sexually outside of marriage. God is okay with it. He's cool with it. The truth is, God isn't cool with it. He doesn't wink at it and go, hey, buddy, have fun. He's not cool with it. So those are misconceptions. Today, we're going to turn the page, and we're going to talk about the benefits of not going all the way sexually till marriage. Now, here's the first thing that I have to do. You say, Bo, again, is this just your teaching? I mean, did you just learn this on your own? I didn't learn this on my own. I read the truth of the Word of God, and that's how we get this teaching. And so when we teach on this, this isn't Bo Haig's opinion. This isn't Heather Haig's opinion. This is the truth of God's Word. And so the important thing that we have to establish is the authority by which I'm teaching, right? I mean, think about it. I mean, seriously, think about it. If I just come up here and give you my opinion, I'm just a mouth talking. But if I preach the truth of the Word of God, then God's truth can be shared, and his truth is eternal. Amen? And so, again, what stand do we have? What authority do we have? Well, the Word of God says that we are to wait and have sex only in the inside the boundaries of marriage. And that's what it says. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 5. And I want to break this down real quick, and then we're going to show you some benefits. Look at it. It says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. Now you say, well, what are we establishing our authority on? This is our authority. The reason that I can come and teach you this today is because the Word of God teaches us in this way. And I want to break this verse down real quick. The key phrase in the beginning of it, it says, it is God's will. And many people wander through life and they wonder, they go, what is God's will for my life? How should I do this relationship? How should I, you know, how do I know who I'm supposed to date? How do I know this? How do I know that? The Bible is clear about sex. It says right there in verse 3, it says, it is God's will. What does it say? It is God's will that you should be sanctified. You know what that word means? I mean, that's a big Christian word that maybe some of you don't know what it means. Here's the thing. What sanctified actually means, it means set apart. Right? I mean, we should be set apart. If you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, we should not ride with the herd. We should ride against the herd. You know what the herd is? It's our culture. It's the media. It's all those things that the world says is okay. Listen, we should be counter-cultural. That's what that word sanctified means. It means set apart. It means different. And so you say, what is God's will? We should be set apart. We should be sanctified. The other part of that verse says that we should avoid sexual immorality. And you say, well, what's that? I mean, what's sexual immorality? Well, I'll give you some examples of it. Petting. I'm not talking about the petting zoo either. Some of you guys will get this later. When I was growing up, we had a rule in our dating relationships. I was a youth minister for almost 17 years. And so I taught teenagers quite a bit. And so when they came to me, you know what their question was? Hey, Bo, how far is too far with my girlfriend? That's what they had asked, because they wanted to know how far it was too far. And you know, a better question than saying that question, how far is too far, is this question. What is holy and what is honorable? It's a better question. Is what I'm doing holy and honorable? Or is what I'm doing impure and is it not glorifying God? And so petting, when I talk about petting, I'm talking about touching parts of the body that you shouldn't be touching, right? And we had this rule called the box rule, and I taught every teenager that I ever taught about, you know, dating and relationships. We had this rule called the box rule, and you make a box from here to here. It's kind of like a rectangle. Everything in the box is off limits. Do you get it? I mean, seriously, maybe do I need to make it clearer? Everything in the box is off limits. My mom, you say, you know, and again, every parent has the right to set their own rules. Amen? Can I say that again? Can you say amen to that? Every parent has the right to set their own rules. So if you're a parent that says, you know, no kissing, then that's fine. My mom was a little bit different. My mom said, kiss her all you want, but remember the box. And that was her. She said, you got to know if there's a spark there, and so kiss her. But that was just my mom's rules, and don't take that and go, well, you know, Bo said that I could kiss all I want. No, you talk to God about it, and then God will show you what you need to do. But that's sexual immorality. Go ahead.
I was going to ask if that was going to be Madeline's box, or is it going to be?
Madeline's box will be to her ankles and up, like right here. No touching anything. Yeah, exactly. So, and that's funny that you bring that up. The rules change when I become a father. So, again, parents rule and kids don't. So petting. So what's sexual immorality? Petting. I mean, again, think about it. Pornography, that's sexual immorality. Some people think, well, it helps my relationship, gets me through the day. Well, it's wrong. It's sexual immorality, adultery. Anything outside of marriage is adultery. Again, that is sexual immorality. Premarital sex, just like what we're talking about today, sexual immorality. Now, here's the other part of the verse. It says you need to avoid, or you need to be sanctified, you need to avoid sexual immorality, and you need to learn to control your own body. Do you see that verse right there? What verse was that? Verse 4, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Now, again, this is something that I teach, but you don't have to teach it. If you're a parent, you make the rules. Do you hear that? Can I say that one more time? You make the rules. But here's the thing. And when I was dealing with teenagers or even single adults, and they would come to me and they would say, Bo, hey, this girl that I'm dating or this guy that I'm dating, we are tempted sexually, and I feel like I need to break up with them. Here's what I would say to them. Is that what God wants? You know, they were coming to me and they were saying, Bo, I feel like I ought to break up with this person. Again, and this is in dating, not marriage, but I feel like I ought to break up with this person because we're tempted sexually. Now here's, again, this is something that maybe just goes through my mind. I would challenge them and I would say, does God really want you to break up or does he want you to learn to control your own body? Do you see the difference? I mean, the key word there is learn. Learn to control your own body. Again, and you say, well, how do I do that in dating? If we're tempted sexually, how do I control my own body? How do I learn to do that? Well, you have to know how not to get yourselves in the situations of being tempted. Does that make sense? I mean, getting in the back of the car to have a little fun, that's not the best place to go, well, you know, I don't think we'll be tempted. Let's get back there. I mean, really? And so, again, you got to learn. You got to learn how to not get yourself in those tempting situations. And here's the second part of it. When you get into those tempting situations, even if you've set boundaries, even if you've done everything you can, you need to rely on God. It's only through God that you can say no to sex, even if you're a godly person. Amen? Can I get a little something from that? I mean, is that true?
It's very true.
Heather and I, should I tell stories about us or not really?
Sure.
Heather and I were tempted to have sex. I'll speak for myself. I was tempted to have sex with her, even in our dating. And without the boundaries that we had agreed on, and you say, what were some of those boundaries? I'll give you a few of our examples. We wouldn't kiss in the car. That was one of our boundaries. We wouldn't kiss laying down. That was one of our boundaries. We wouldn't, come to my house. I had my own house. We wouldn't come to my house and just stay up all night and, you know, feel like we're not going to make out a lot. So we would keep from that. We would try to be around people in public. And so we were tempted to do that. And the only way that we could get by, and we were married, obviously, as virgins, is we set the boundaries. And then when we were tempted, we relied on God. And when I was weak, she needed to be strong. When she was weak, were you ever weak? When she was weak, maybe I had to be strong, okay? And so listen, you had to rely on God.
And I think something that's important too is we didn't wait until we were in the car or at his house alone to set those boundaries. They were set when we weren't in a tempting situation. So
yeah.
It just makes sense.
And here's another thing, and I encourage you to do this. When you begin to date somebody, don't kiss them for like months. It's just this is just my teaching. I can't find this biblically anywhere. But here's the thing. Heather and I, we waited, I think, how many months? Maybe a year. I don't remember.
I don't remember. It's a big blur.
It is a big blur. But we waited at least 3 or 4 months before we ever kissed. And we dated for that 3 or 4 months. And you say, well, why did you do that, Bo? Because here's why. I'm a sexual human being. I am a man. And as soon as I start making out with a good-looking woman, I will want more. Anybody with me? Come on, men. And so if you want to base your relationship on something that is firm, that's, you know, a firm foundation found on Christ, then you need to wait to get involved, you know, physically, even with kissing, okay? That's just a word of advice. So learn to control your own body. It's only through God that you can do that. I want to say that again. It's only through God that you can do that. It's only through God, by his grace, that we made it to our wedding day virgins. That's only by the grace of God. And so you have to possess God. You have to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Again, people ask me, how far is too far? The better question is, again, to ask, what is holy and what is honorable? That's a great question. It says, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. Not in passionate lust. Do you realize that lust is a sin? And you say, well, what is lust? Because again, a lot of kids get this mixed up. Here's what I would tell teenagers about lust. The first look is God-given. The second look can become lust. Do you see the difference? I mean, here you get around a bunch of religious people and a bunch of religious kids, and they think that the attraction is a sin. Do you see it? I mean, their parents have taught them that, you know, you better not look at a woman until you're married. Really? God says that I should be attracted to women. So when I'm attracted to a woman and I see her and I think she's pretty, the first look is okay. The second look can become sin. You see what I'm saying? The second look can be, you know, become, hey, I'd like to see her, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? And so again, you think about what is lust? Lust is more than just being attracted to someone. The attraction is a God-given gift. Don't squelch that. But again, allow God to control you in that second thought as well.
I think something that's important too is when we were dating, we both had accountability partners. We had an older couple that was married that mentored us, and we would, you know, often have lunch with them once a week or whatever. And mine was Karen. Her name was Karen, and she would ask me, you know, how are you and Bo doing? Are y'all staying pure? Are you keeping a relationship, honoring God? And knowing that I was going to have to answer that question every week made a huge difference when we were tempted.
Yeah, absolutely. That accountability is important too. You can learn about that again in that dating teaching. Here's another thing about lust. If you're burning in passionate lust for the person that you're dating or maybe that you're engaged with, and you know God's will is for you to be married, don't have a long engagement. Can I get an amen on that from somebody? I mean, long engagements, if you know that you're... again, that God is in the relationship and that you're going to get married, don't have a long engagement. It's stupid. I can't back this up biblically. Yeah, maybe I can. 1 Corinthians 7:9. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. 1 Corinthians 7:9. I mean, and you need to take this advice here. And can I just expose something that I think I've figured out? People that have long engagements are having sex. Maybe I'm wrong, but here's how I figure that. I wanted to have sex with this girl, and I wasn't going to wait 2 years and then burn in passionate lust for her. We were engaged in August and married in October. But that's after God said, she's the one. And you say, well, I'm just going to rush into this marriage. Don't do that. That's stupid too. Know that God's in it. And if he's in it, I encourage short engagements. That's just me. And the Bible does too. So 1 Corinthians 7:9. So how does all this benefit us? You say, okay, Bo, that's the authority. That's where we, you know, establish our authority. How does all this benefit us? Not going all the way sexually benefits us before marriage and in marriage. And here's how it does it.
Well, first off, when you're single, and a lot of this is kind of the opposite of what we talked about last week. Last week, we talked about the consequences of going all the way before marriage. And so today, a lot of it is kind of just the opposite. So some benefits when you're single is obviously you're not going to be a candidate for a sexually transmitted disease. You're not going to have to worry about an unwanted pregnancy. And you're not going to have any shame, regret, or conviction of a sexual sin. You're going to be able to have that inward peace. And before we get too far into this, I think it's important if you're sitting there today and you're married, I mean, you might be thinking this doesn't apply to you, but pass this information on to your kids or to your grandkids or to someone else who doesn't have godly parents or godly mentors in their lives. You can pass this information on to them. So be thinking of who you can share this with if you are already married and this you seem like this doesn't apply. But in marriage, okay, so number one, if you're taking notes, it brings security to your marriage. If you wait to go all the way sexually, number one is it brings security to your marriage. So that's the first benefit. And I think that for us women, this is huge, having that security. And I think a lot of it comes that if you didn't compromise before marriage, the chances are that you're not going to compromise in your marriage. And you won't have to worry as much about, you know, is my spouse going to cheat on me or am I going to cheat on him? Because if you were pure and you honored God before your marriage, chances are you're going to during your marriage. Now, should we still have guards in place in our marriage to protect us from having adultery? Absolutely. In 1 Peter 5:8, it tells us, "Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." So we need to have these guards in place because Satan obviously would love nothing more than to destroy even more marriages than he already has through adultery. If your spouse, again, made every effort before marriage to honor you and to honor God, then chances are he's going to do that in your marriage. Like Bo said, he set up boundaries and his priority, he led our marriage in that because I knew that he wanted to honor God and he wanted to honor me. So he set those boundaries and he does that in our marriage as well. He has boundaries. Typically, he won't counsel with a woman by himself. That's one boundary that he has in place. And then also he guards what he takes in into his, you know, visually. Like he, you know, we won't go see movies. We'll go to PluggedIn.com before we'll go and see a movie just to make sure that it's a good one to see. And I encourage you to do that for your teenagers as well. You can go, there's a website, PluggedIn.com. It'll tell you every cuss word that's in the movie, every sex scene that's in the movie, and so you can protect your kids from seeing those things as well. But that's something that he does. And then also, he's accountable to what he looks at on the computer. Like he talked about, I think last year, he talked about that XXXwatch.com, or I don't know what the website is exactly, but anyways.
XXXchurch.com.
Yeah. It'll guard anything. If he goes to a questionable website on the internet, it emails me and it emails, I think, two other people that he's accountable to. And so every week I get an email that says my husband has viewed no questionable websites during the week. And that, you know, it blesses me. It's honoring to me and it helps me to know that he's being proactive in not destroying our marriage by doing something stupid. And he's saving his life as well.
I do it out of fear.
So waiting to have sex until marriage, it also provides emotional security. And again, I think this is huge for women, especially. But, you know, when you're having sex with your husband, you're not having to sit there and think, you know, is he comparing me to someone else? Am I measuring up to his past girlfriends? Am I good enough? Or whatever, is my body, you know, good enough? Do I look good enough? We don't have to worry about those things because you have that security that he has no one else to compare you to.
That's right. And so security is a big thing. Number two is this. If you wait to go all the way until you're married, it brings freedom to your marriage. Think about it. It brings freedom to your marriage. It can bring freedom from all the things that we've listed, like the regret, the shame, you know, all those things that result from doing it the wrong way, from having sex outside of marriage. Again, you think about Adam and Eve, the very first couple to ever walk the face of the earth. Guess what? They were naked in the garden. Woohoo! They were naked in the garden. And listen to Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Do you hear it? They felt no shame. Here's the thing. You can find freedom in marriage from the shame and the guilt and the regret and all the other stuff, the lack of security, all that stuff. You can be freed from that by saving it till marriage. And so again, it wasn't until Adam and Eve sinned that they began to put clothes on, right? I mean, some of you are here today and maybe you've sinned sexually. You're fully clothed and you feel shameful. Listen, God can take care of that. He can forgive you. He can show you that forgiveness. And so again, freedom from regret, freedom from emotional pain, waiting till marriage frees us from all these things. And in marriage, listen to this, in marriage, you have the freedom to enjoy each other fully. You have the freedom to enjoy each other fully. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means that you can have sex and enjoy it. Again, some cultures of the church, some churches, some ministries teach, you know, sex is wrong, sex is bad, sex is gross, sex is this. Listen, In marriage, sex is for our enjoyment. Amen. Can I get some men excited today? Golly, some of you men, you need to get out of your shell. It can be enjoyable. It can be enjoyable in the dark. It can be enjoyable in the light. It can be enjoyable in the kitchen. It can be enjoyable in the shower, and I'll stop right there.
This is why I wore my tall sweater. Didn't have to.
Because she blushes and her neck turns red. But listen, it can be enjoyable. Listen to Song of Solomon. This is actually in the Word of God. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. Listen to what this says. It says, "How beautiful you are and how pleasing my love with your delights. Your stature is like that of a palm and your breasts like clusters of fruit. I said, I will climb the palm. I will take hold of its fruits. May your breasts be like clusters of grapes on the vine, the fragrance of your breath like apples, and your mouth like the best wine." Can I get an amen? To borrow a motion from Lenny and Squiggy, I want to go like this. Some of you guys watch Laverne and Shirley. You get that later. That is good stuff. And you say, well, no. We better not, expose that. Listen, I want to get it out. When my children are old enough to understand what sex is, I want them to know that it's exciting. I want them to know that it's outstanding. I want them to know that it's awesome. I want them to know that it's enjoyable. That's what I want them to know. Not that it's gross and that it's sick and that we should never talk about it. Listen, I want them to know that it's good. It's a great thing. And so it brings freedom for us to enjoy each other. The third thing is this, and then we've just got one more. Listen, not going all the way till marriage leads to, number three, lasting satisfaction in your marriage. Lasting satisfaction in your marriage. It can lead into lasting satisfaction in bed. It can. Song of Solomon again, chapter 4, verse 16. "Let my lover come into his garden and taste its delicious fruits." It's a great thing. You can find lasting satisfaction when you wait to have sex until you're married. Can I give you another example? Our wedding night, let me just tell you this. My wife's, this is where the net gets red. Here's the thing. We got married, we were outside by a pond and all that stuff. We had a great time at the wedding, but when the wedding was over, we didn't stick around for shaking hands and none of that crap. You know what I'm saying? I mean, seriously, I do a lot of weddings, and I've learned that, again, people must be just having sex because I'm not going to wait. I waited 28 years to have sex with this woman, and I'm not going to wait another hour so that I can shake everybody's hand and test the food. You see what I'm saying? Listen, and again, some people want it just to be business as usual. I mean, our wedding night was just business as usual. I don't want that, and I don't want that for anybody else. I want it to be exciting, and it was exciting. I mean, we went to McDonald's, ate fast food, and we headed straight for the hotel. I'm telling you. We weren't going to wait. Now listen, some of you guys are like, what's that all about? Listen, it can be satisfying. You can look forward to your wedding day. For me, that's a great thing. Again, not just your wedding night can be satisfying, but your whole marriage can be satisfying. Because it can be pure. It can be holy. And so again, lasting satisfaction can be found when you wait till marriage to have sex.
And also you have the satisfaction that you've pleased the Lord. And in my mind, that's huge, to honor my father and to please him. I mean, the way that he's blessed us and the way that he takes care of us. So to be able to honor him by obeying that command is huge as well. And you can take pride that you defeated the devil, because again, there's nothing this is probably the number one temptation for people is sexual sin, I would say.
Yeah.
And so to be able to honor God and defeat the devil is a big deal. And you can be, like we talked about last week, instead of, you know, being ashamed of your story, you can be proud to tell your story. You can be proud to tell your kids, you know, we waited till we were married to have sex. So do what I say and also do what I did, instead of, you know, do what I say and not what I do. And so, you know, it's exciting that when our kids ask us if we waited, we're going to be able to say that we did. And so that's another blessing. So number four, saving sex for marriage also creates a oneness like no other with your spouse. Genesis 2:24, it says, "That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." So when you wait to have sex, you're creating a bond that you've never experienced with anyone else, and it's just so deep and special, and it creates, again, that oneness, and it's the best relationship that we should have here on earth is the relationship that we have with our spouse, and you're getting to know each other emotionally, physically, spiritually, and so that bond just makes it that much deeper. So, and that, again, is how God designed it to be. So it's the best way to do it is to follow his word. So in closing, again, we want to reiterate that, you know, sex is a gift from God. It's for his glory and it's for our good. And it brings security, satisfaction, and freedom. And it also, again, brings about that oneness that can't be compared to anything else. And we, you know, want to just let you know, too, today that, you know, if you have failed in this, if you've, you know, already had sex before marriage, or if you, you know, had sex before you got married, or if you're having sex now, or looking at porn online, or whatever, you know, your struggle might be with that sexual sin, that you might be, you know, saying, well, what now? I've already messed up, so am I not going to get to have any of these blessings? And that's just not true. The first thing that you need to do is just to repent. And, you know, God is a forgiving God. His grace is big enough to cover all sins. You know, that's why he sent his son to die, is for all of our sins that we, you know, commit. But the second thing that he wants you to do is to obey from this day forward. You know, he can restore you. He can make you new on the inside and the out. And he can, you know, start that purity over in your life from this day on. And so he just needs you to repent and to obey his word. Start setting boundaries in your relationships. Only date someone who's a believer. If you're not like-minded in that, it's just going to be an even bigger struggle, obviously. And we're here to help in any way that we can, in any way that this church can help you guys. If you have any questions about any of that, we'd love to help in whatever way we can.
And I'll just say this to close. The benefits far outweigh the non-benefits. The benefits of waiting far outweigh the stuff that comes with the baggage that comes with having sex outside of marriage. And again, we've shown you four benefits, but there are thousands of benefits. And we learn a new benefit every day that we're married. And so again, some of you guys are like, well, how can I celebrate this? There is no celebration going on in my heart because again, we have failed in this area. Again, just like Heather said, you need to repent. And you say, well, what does that mean? You need to turn from your sin and you need to turn to God. That's what it means. Turn from your sin and turn to God, and he can heal that pain. He can take away the shame. He can take away the guilt, and he can start you on a new foundation. He can give you a new relationship, even with the person that you're already with, okay? I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. We're going to close with just a few more things. Here's the thing. I want to be honest, because here's the truth. Sex, the pleasure of sex, is only temporary. The pleasure of human love is really only temporary. There is only one true love that is going to last forever. There's only one true person that can give you full acceptance, that can give you full security, that can give you full satisfaction, and that person is Jesus Christ. And so maybe you're here today and you're thinking, wow, if I could only have sex, wow, if I could only date somebody, wow, if I could only get married, then I would be truly secure, truly satisfied. And the truth is, it's not true. You still have to rely on Christ. You still have to give him your life. Here's the thing. Heather and I, we've been married for over 10 years now. And again, here's the truth that I've learned. I still have to rely on God. She cannot fully satisfy me. She can't satisfy me emotionally. She can't satisfy me, you know, in every way. Only God can do that. And so maybe you're here today and you're thinking, wow, I got to get into a relationship. I mean, that sounds great. I want to know all those benefits. Listen, it starts with knowing Christ. If you don't come to Christ, then you will never truly know what true love is. And you won't have the power to do what we've taught you today. And that's say no to sex outside of marriage. And so accepting Jesus into your life, accepting the forgiveness of your sin, accepting his freedom from your past is the first step. And you say, Bo, how do I do that? You give him your life. You say, okay, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And so I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I want you to be the Lord and the boss of my life. That's where it starts. And so maybe in your seat right there, you just need to pray that prayer. Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need you to come into my life. My girlfriend and I, we aren't doing this thing the right way. And I know it starts with you. So I give you my life and I want you to guide me in this life. Maybe that was your prayer right now. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, we want to know about it so that we can come alongside of you and help you grow in your faith, help you grow in your relationships. Maybe you're in a relationship and it hasn't glorified God so far, but you wanted to start glorifying God. We can help. God can help. If you will reach out, if you maybe fill out an orange card, you know, text your name to the number that's going to be on the screen, just text your name and we will contact you and we will give you the tools that you need through the Word of God so that you can have a healthy relationship with God and a healthy relationship maybe with someone else. And so that's where it starts. Maybe you're a Christian today, but you've put too high of an expectation on your spouse and your marriage is struggling. Listen, maybe you need to turn your eyes from your spouse and you need to turn to God and say, okay, God, I've lost track. I've tried to find my, you know, my true satisfaction, my true emotional freedom, all that stuff in my spouse, and this person is not fulfilling that fully, and I need you. Listen, maybe that's you. You know Christ. But you need to turn to God and you need to say, okay, God, I'm fully relying on you. When you do that, guess what? He will equip you to have a better marriage. He will give you the strength that you need to have a better marriage. He'll give you the tools that you need to have a better marriage. And so you need to turn to maybe God and say, okay, God, I'm relying on you. Show me what it looks like to love my spouse. And I pray for my spouse. May she learn or may he learn to know what it looks like to love me. And so maybe that's what you need to do today. Here's the thing. We are here to help, and God's grace is big enough to cover whatever you've gone through. And so please let us know if we can help you. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer, and if you have questions or, you know, anything, then we are here to help. Lord, we just come to you right now. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the teaching that it teaches us on sex, on relationships, and on marriage. And I thank you that it is a pure and holy thing for our enjoyment and for your glory. And Lord, today, I want to praise you and I want to thank you for giving us your way of doing sex, relationships, and marriage. May we be obedient to your way. And it's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here. Again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you have questions, please contact us. We would love to visit with you. Again, Thousand Hills Ranch Church at yahoo.com, or you can contact us by phone, 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.